Good evening. Please have your Bible open at Isaiah in chapter 9. As has already been said, we're starting a new series tonight. It's a brief series, just the four parts that God willing will take us most of the way up to Christmas. And tonight we're going to consider the name given to Jesus in the second half of verse 6, Wonderful Counselor. By way of some very brief background to this chapter, to this passage, I want to tell you that it was written roughly 700 years before Christ was born, so 2,700 years ago, roughly from today. It was written at a really dark, a troubled, a terrible time for God's people. You see, another nation, the Assyrians, had raised up an army. This army had come against God's people. It had besieged them, it had attacked them, and it had beat them. The Assyrians had won a war against God's people. They had sacked their cities, they had plundered their wealth and their goods and their possessions and carried it back to Assyria. And not just their material stuff, they plundered their people. They'd enslaved many and carried them off too. And those who had been fortunate not to be enslaved, well, they were scattered in the land and just about managing to survive. And yet, even at this dark time, even at this point where it looks like there is no hope, there is hope. There is a light. We read in verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." You see, we're reading here how Isaiah and God's people are looking forward to the chink of light, to the Messiah who's going to come. They're looking forward to the Savior who's going to come and save them. They're looking forward to He who is going to rid them of all pain and all suffering. They're looking forward to Jesus. And tonight, we're going to spend some time specifically considering how Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, we read at the start of verse 6, the child who was born, the son who was given, deserves the name, the title, Wonderful Counselor. Question for you first though. How many names do you have? I'm pretty sure you've got a first name. I'm pretty sure you'll have a surname. There might be someone fancy in here who's got a double-barreled surname. Get you. Some of you ladies will have maiden names. Some of you may have middle names or two middle names or three middle names. I know some parents like to really go to town on middle names, don't they, and give you seven. Well, no matter how many names you have, I'm pretty certain you won't have anywhere near as many names as Jesus has and is given in the Word. How many names and titles? I tried to get a definitive number. I gave in. There's too many different translations. There's too many different opinions. But I can absolutely promise you he has over 300 names, titles given to him in Scripture. Can you imagine what it would be like to fill out the passport application form with that many names? Well, you see, why so many names? Why so many names? Well, this Jesus names, they're not there to identify him. They're not there so that we can pick him out in a crowd and say, that's the one. They're not there so that we can read the register and know which person he is. They're there because they tell us more about him, who he is, what he's like. They tell us about his character. They tell us about his heart. So with this in mind, let's tonight together consider the name, the title, Wonderful Counselor. So we'll read chapter 9, we'll read verse 6 together. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful." We'll stop there. Wonderful. Wonderful is literally another way of saying full of wonder. If something is wonderful, it can't be fully explained. It can't be fully comprehended. It's astonishing. It's mind-bending. It's out of this world. Do you know, we risk, don't we, becoming a bit numb, becoming dull, becoming unmoved by just how wonderful Jesus is. Many of you here, like me, will have heard and read so much about him. Don't let that familiarity numb you to how wonderful he is. Do you see? Do you understand how astonishing, how out of this world Jesus is? My prayer tonight is that if you know how wonderful Jesus is, that tonight that flame of wonder in your heart will be a little bit rekindled, will be relit, will be stoked up, will burn brighter than ever. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know how wonderful he is, my prayer is that tonight you will be amazed and astounded and full of wonder by seeing him properly for the first time. Well, let me give you some reasons why Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful because of his deity. Let me put it in really simple language. He's wonderful because of who he is. He is, you've heard this said before, fully God and fully man. He's the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, unfathomable, eternal, infinite, mighty, awesome God of the entire universe. And a man in Jesus. That is wonderful. That is really tough to get your head around. It is amazing. It is astonishing. When asked by a group of Jewish men, "Who are you?" Jesus replies in John chapter 8 and verse 58, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus says, when asked, "Who are you?" Let me tell you for certain, he says, let me make it clear. Before Abraham was, before there was a Jewish nation, before there was the father of the Jews, thousands of years ago, I was there because I'm God. He also uses the name, talk about names tonight, I am, which any self-respecting Jewish man would know, would be certain, is the name that the Lord gave to Moses. When Moses asked him, "Who shall I say to Egypt sent me?" The Lord answered through the burning bush. He said, "Tell them, I am sent you." Jesus is wonderful because of who he is, because of his deity. And Jesus is wonderful because of his teaching. We read so many times in the scripture, he taught with authority. People were astonished by the level of authority in his teaching. He taught with power. People were challenged. Some were offended. Many were changed. And he taught in a unique way, unlike anybody else. Today, just like then, you can hear all sorts of people say, "You're doing great if you're successful. You're doing well if you're powerful, if you're important, if you're rich." Jesus didn't teach that. He taught things like, "Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek." We can't unpack that tonight. We haven't got time, but we know that is unique. He didn't say, like many would today, "Look after number one, put yourself first, be the greatest." He taught things like, "Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Jesus' teaching was full of authority. It was full of power. It was unique 2,000 years ago when he walked this earth and he gave it to us for the first time. It is still today, as we share it through the written word, full of authority, full of power, unique, and it still challenges, it still changes. Jesus is wonderful because of his teaching. And Jesus is wonderful because of his perfection. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, "He committed no sin." That's pretty clear, isn't it? "Neither was deceit found in his mouth." Let me read another verse to you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. It's pretty clear. "You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Jesus is perfect. Perfect is a word we use far too glibly. "Oh, that cup of tea is perfect." That's not a good use of that word. Jesus was perfect, spotless, blameless. Let me put it another way to you. People believe, many people believe, that when Jesus died on the cross, he was around 33 or 34. I'm not going to get into an argument. He's about 33. Let's just go with that today. And what we can know about Jesus from these verses is from the moment that he was born, he became a nursing infant and then he became a tot, and then he was a toddler, and then he was an infant, and then he was a junior, and then he was a teenager, and then he was a young adult, and then he was an adult, all the way to a 33-year-old man. In all those stages of life, in all those years, Jesus never once, not once, in anything he thought, in anything he said, in anything he did, sin. Never once in 33 years did he fall short of God's glory. Never once in 33 years did he miss God's standard. Jesus is wonderful. And just in case you can't see how wonderful he is, let me ask you, how long can you go without committing a sin? I'll answer for me, but I'm pretty sure it'll be similar for you. 33 years? I can't go 33 seconds without falling short at times of God's glory. Jesus is wonderful because of his perfection. And Jesus is wonderful because of his death. On one hand, we have Jesus. We've already talked about it. Fully God, fully man, perfect in every way. He deserves praise. He deserves our adoration. He deserves to be in heaven, sat on a throne at the right hand of his Father. On the other hand, there's you and there's me. We can't even go 33 seconds without falling short of God's glory. The Bible teaches because of our sin, we can't be his friend. The Bible teaches because of his sin, we deserve to be punished. The Bible teaches that we're stuffed. And what does Jesus do? He swaps places. He substitutes himself for you and for me. He takes what you and I deserve on the cross upon himself. That is wonderful. That is an unbelievable transaction. It's incredible. The songwriter of a song that we're going to sing later on tonight puts it well better than I ever could when they write, "May I never lose the wonder of the cross. May I see it like the first time, standing as a sinner lost, undone by mercy and left speechless, watching wide-eyed at the cost. May I never lose the wonder of the cross." Jesus is wonderful because of his death, where he took your place and mine, and he defeated sin once and for all. And Jesus is wonderful because of his resurrection, where he defeats the grave, where he defeats death. Have you read in Mark chapter 16 how three women, they head to the tomb? We've got Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They head into the tomb to prepare Jesus' dead body, as was their custom. They know he's been dead, he's been crucified for 3 days, and their biggest concern, their biggest worry is who's going to move the tombstone for us, because they know it's going to take a lot more muscle power than just them three. But when they get there, the stone has been rolled away. They walk into the tomb, and there is a man in there wearing a white robe. It's an angel. And he says, as every angel always says when you first arrive, "Don't be afraid. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." The next words are wonderful. "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? He's gone." The ladies, they leave the tomb. They're trembling. They're astonished. They're filled with wonder because Jesus is wonderful. Time's against us, but we could keep going on for days, I think, talking about how wonderful Jesus is. We haven't touched on his healing power. We haven't mentioned his miracles. There are so many of them. We haven't talked about his ascension into heaven and how wonderful that is. And we haven't discussed how full of wonder anyone would be when we think upon his incredible love. But time's against us, so we'll move on. As we continue to read, we'll read, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." In simple terms, a counselor is somebody who is trained to advise and to help and to guide others with a problem. We will be familiar here with roles, counseling roles, such as a marriage counselor who would help those going through difficulty in their marriage to work through some of those problems and hopefully come out stronger on the other side. We'd be familiar with a role such as a debt counselor, helping those crippled by debt to maybe restructure that debt, to put it in a more manageable way, not to mention manage the mental and the emotional stress that debt can put on people. And we'll certainly be aware of a legal counsellor. We don't often call them that, do we? We might call them a lawyer or a solicitor or a barrister. But they're trained, they're experts, there to guide us through the complexities of the legal system and the justice system. And can I tell you, all these roles, all these professions, all these trained people, they have merit, and there is certainly a place for these counsellors. But there is one counsellor who is greater than all those counsellors put together. The wonderful counsellor, Jesus. Let me tell you why Jesus is a wonderful counsellor. You see, Jesus, he always listens. He's always available. No appointment is necessary. He doesn't need sleep or rest. He doesn't take breaks. He's never too busy. Nothing is too much for him. There is no fee you need to pay before he's there for you. When you need him, he is there. He always is, and he always will be. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, there's a promise. It's a promise I learned to sing as a teenager. It's a great promise. It's one you really want to keep hold of. In that verse, we read, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you are, whatever you may or may not have done, may or may not have said, may or may not have thought, however you feel, whether you feel like he's there or not, he promises that he will never leave and he will never forsake you. Jesus is a wonderful counsellor because he always listens. He's always available. And Jesus is a wonderful counsellor because he knows and he understands your needs. Now, you can say to an earthly counsellor, an earthly counsellor does need you to explain your problem. They do need you to open up. They do need you to share. They do need you to explain what has happened and why it has happened before they can maybe formulate some sort of advice. Jesus doesn't. He knows what you need before you ask. He knows what you need before you do. He knows your past. He knows every big detail and every tiny detail. He knows every secret, every regret, every mistake, every hidden hurt. You cannot wear a mask with Jesus. Not only does he know your past, he knows your present. He knows exactly what you're thinking in your heart and mind right now. He knows your motives. He knows your worries. He knows your concerns. He knows your future. He knows what you're going to need tomorrow. He knows what you're going to need next week. He knows before you know. And not only does he know what you need, he understands. You can say to an earthly counsellor, you don't get it. You can say to an earthly counsellor, you haven't walked even an inch in my shoes. You don't know what I'm going through right now. You can't say that to Jesus. You cannot say that to Jesus because he has walked in your shoes. He has walked in my shoes. He understands. He can sympathize. He was tempted as we are tempted. He has felt our weaknesses. Have you been hurt, abused, rejected, broken? He understands. Have you been afraid, deserted, dejected, lonely? Have you felt mental anguish, physical pain? He understands. He knows what you're going through because he's been there too. Jesus is a wonderful counselor because he knows what you need and he understands. And Jesus is a wonderful counselor because he can and will always, always help. We read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is qualified. He is as qualified as it is possible to be. He can help. Jesus doesn't struggle to find an answer. He is the answer. Where else could you go for help, for counsel that would be better than his? we read in John 6 how some followers of Jesus had turned away. They'd stopped following him. And Jesus asks the question to his disciples, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter responds, I love Simon Peter. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He says the first thing that comes into his head, it sometimes gets him in trouble. And other times, it gives us gold. It gives us something we can really learn from. When Jesus asks, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter responds, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Simon Peter, he says it how it is. You're God's son. In you is found all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Who else could possibly compare to you? You have the key to eternal life. Who else can match? Where else would we go? He can always help. And he will always help. Because the wonderful counselor loves you. Now see, I'm sure there are some excellent earthly counselors out there who try their very hardest, who do their very best to give thought through guidance, to give help that will really make a difference. But can I tell you, there is no counselor out there who will ever love you like Jesus does. We read in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. If you're a follower of Jesus here tonight, Jesus has shown you the greatest love. You're his friend, and he has laid down his life for you. If you don't know him here tonight, why not? Who compares with Jesus? Who is as wonderful as him? Who is a wonderful counselor like him? Where else would you turn? So as we wrap up, I wonder, whose counsel, whose advice, whose guidance are you going to follow? We've seen Jesus deserves the name Wonderful. He deserves the title Wonderful Counselor. Who else compares? Of course, there'll be some here who won't listen to anyone. They don't want any advice. They don't want your words of wisdom. They don't want your guidance, your input, your feedback. They know best. They've got it all sorted, all sussed. If that's you, please, don't harden your heart. Accept the wonderful Jesus and his counsel today. Who else compares? Others here will listen to the wrong voices, the wrong guidance, the wrong counsel, or maybe even too many voices. Can I encourage you this week to prioritize the wonderful counselor, to put his counsel, his guidance, his advice first? How? This week, make sure daily you spend time in prayer with him. Daily spend time reading his word. Ask him for his Holy Spirit to come and fill you and guide you each and every day, each and every moment. Because who else compares to the wonderful counselor? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you more than live up to the name Wonderful Counselor. And as we consider how wonderful you are and are filled with wonder, we praise your name, we worship you, we adore you, and we ask, Lord, that this week we would be a people who seek your wonderful counsel, seek your will, your guidance, your instruction in our prayer times, as we read the word, and we ask, Lord, that you would send down your Holy Spirit to guide us as we seek in everything we do to follow the wonderful counselor to whom nobody else compares. Amen. as the band make their way up, so we can sing our closing song together. Our song is once again going to encourage us to be full of wonder as we're going to look to the wonderful counselor who sacrificed himself for us on the cross. May I never lose the wonder of the cross. Let's stand together as we sing.
Precious.